Welcome to Because That's What Heroes Do, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I'm back with Megan Doherty to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We are doing Loki Season 2. It is a rollicking, great show, lots of action, some fabulous sci-fi. Of course, Loki the Trickster and Tom Hiddleston, the actor who plays him in all his glory. Owen Wilson also co-stars, and the repartee between the two of them is first rate. I know you'll enjoy Megan and my exploration of Loki Season 2. We take up the show from several angles. From the societal angle, from the social justice angle, from the MCU angle, and perhaps even from the compliance angle. But if you're an MCU fan or you're a compliance fan, I know you will enjoy our exploration of Loki Season 2. Today we consider Episode 2, Breaking Bad. I know you'll enjoy this edition of Because That's What Heroes Do. Episode 2, Breaking Bad. Loki, Mobius, and the Hunter B-15 find and capture Hunter X-5 in London, 1977 on the Sacred Timeline, where he lives as film actor Brad Wolf. Under interrogation, he admits to abandoning Doc's mission and reveals Sylvie's location. The group travels to Oklahoma and finds her working at a McDonald's. Loki tries to remind her of their last encounter in the TVA's future, but she refuses to involve herself any further with the organization. Meanwhile, back at the TVA, OB attempts to repair the loom to safely accommodate the branching timelines, but discovers he cannot access it without help from the missing Miss Minutes, or He Who Remains Aura. Although Wolf proclaims the group is in mortal danger, Sylvie enchants him, forcing him to reveal Doc's plan to simultaneously destroy the branching timelines. After returning Wolf to custody, Loki, Mobius, and Sylvie capture Docs, but she has largely succeeded and most of her allies have escaped. As TVA receptionist Casey tracks down the rogue Ravonna Renslayer's Timpad on one of the remaining branching timelines, Sylvie, refusing to be involved any further, returns to the McDonald's with He Who Remains Timpad in her possession. And now, a few words from Megan Doherty. Megan, I ended our last podcast by saying how powerful I thought the science fiction was in episode one. I thought we took a little bit different twist today to move a little bit away from plot to really characters. Mm-hmm. And as I said in episode one, the chemistry between Loki and Mobius was just fabulous. I love key lime pie, so that scene alone was worth it whenever I can see two men like that eat key lime pie. But
I have a whole lot of thoughts about that automat.
Yes. And then OB once again showed he is very prominent in this episode, but he also showed him to be the equal of Mobius and Loki, mm-hmm. around witty repartee, banter, and he's not a third musketeer, but he holds his own with them.
Oh, I agree. I thought this episode was a little bit easier to follow. Profoundly grateful that they fixed that time-slipping episode and most things were happening more or less in the order one would expect them to on a timeline. So I really like that about it. I also really noted that key lime pie moment. And we've been doing this for years. You know how I feel about two men hanging out and having a nice conversation. I'm into it. And funnily enough, I watched a documentary about automats just last week. Really? And how they filled such an interesting niche in sort of Western culture and the way of feeding large groups of people really efficiently and at scale and very affordably. And they've completely fallen out of our way of doing things. But it indicates to me that there's a very large population of the TVA and they are not paid very well.
And here I was thinking it was just two men sharing a great key lime pie.
but from an automat, which was like the most fascinating food, like cafeteria style food delivery system. It was super popular in America at the, you know, during the Industrial Revolution and afterwards. And it was a really low cost way to get a lot of people a lot of food very quickly. They had whole manufacturing and distribution arms across the country, and they just completely fell out of favor as the world became more car centric and people had more money that they had available to spend on food because they were spending so much less on transportation and housing. It was really fascinating.
So the interesting, your point of the economic oppression of the workers mm-hmm. at the TV. So we're having a big union moment in America. Maybe the TVA can take this into heart for collective action. But that scene where they chatted over the key lime pie, and basically I saw Mobius bring Loki down because Loki was very upset. The name of the character B-15, I think, was the hunter they were looking for. And B-15 had become a movie star in his timeline, I think in 1977, London.
Yeah, the jerk who was mean to Mobius about the jet skis.
Yes, yes. He was and is an interesting character. And he is now a successful movie star with the premiere of his first major motion picture, Zaniac. And that's where we meet him at the premiere. What did you think of the tuxes?
Reminds me of there's this great photo of my dad from the band he was in right after high school where they're all wearing those kind of tuxes in one of their posters for bands. I was a big fan of tuxes.
I will just say very 1970s.
All ruffles all the time.
All ruffles all the time. I still get grief for the tux I wore to my high school prom. So, yeah, I'm good. So we get a bit of time travel. We focus a lot on the dark side of Loki. And you and I have obviously seen that before because we're mm-hmm. huge MCU fans. So we know it's there. And in many ways, it's just below the surface. The Loki television or the streaming series is the exception for him re-entering humanity. But that's the thing about a trickster. He can play many roles. But we saw the dark side here. Any thoughts on that?
What amazing setup and capturing of that shot, the shadow magic with the tracking down and capturing of this guy, Wolf. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really nice to see Loki going a little more original flavor. Was great, especially because it came, I believe it was right after a really nice conversation between him and Mobius about, hey, sometimes you lose it. And maybe how you act in the moment isn't how you are all the time. And I almost feel like maybe that conversation gave Loki a little bit of permission to show his alternate side a little bit. I won't say true side because I don't know if it's necessarily true. But I thought it was beautifully done.
If we think back to the first Thor, that was certainly his true side.
That was the moment he said he lost it, though.
Yeah. We have, of course, OB, who we've talked about fairly extensively, met him in episode one, but we get a new minor character who's elevated a little bit in this story, and I can't remember his name, but he is one of the bureaucrats at the TVA, and he sees a timestamp and immediately identifies it and what it does after both Mobius and cannot figure it out. That character is hopefully someone we will see again. He seems to have bonded a little bit with OB and will help OB with the technical side of things. So I thought that certainly was interesting. And we get a little fuller explanation of Sylvie, who we saw in episode one at a McDonald's in 1980 in rural Oklahoma.
It just occurred to me that the automat in the TVA was succeeded in Western food life by the fast food restaurant. Really interesting choice that they put her in a McDonald's because that almost filled that role.
That's a really interesting observation. And we saw the McDonald's a little bit in episode one. So it presaged the automat.
Yeah. Really interesting.
But they go back to the McDonald's and have a little chat with her. And she professes to want to stay in 1980. Now, obviously, we heard that from Brad, B-15. when both he was in London, which was where his timeline had put him, in 1977, and once again when he was back with TVA. What I was trying to figure out during the episode is, what about that time and place made her want to stay there? Maybe it was all the Big Macs she could eat. I don't know.
I guess I thought it was because it was so unbelievably simple? Normal.
Ah.
Yeah, just you could not have anything more normal, more uncomplicated than a McDonald's in 1982. I think she just really liked that after such a tumultuous life.
Okay, yeah, I could certainly buy that, but
she could have food without a face on it, which is fair.
She actually returns to the TVA, though.
Because they learn they're going to bomb all the timelines, which was exactly what she had not wanted to happen. She wanted to free them.
And that really goes back to the discussion we had in episode one, mm-hmm. which is if you prune, bomb, destroy all the timelines, literally billions of people are going to die. And Sylvie set that off back at the end of season one. Mm-hmm. And now they're the multiverse of time. And in one of those timelines, General Dax was trying to blow up those alternative timelines. And we saw almost in real time the timelines disappear from mm-hmm. the screen back at the TVA. And we never heard a figure of how many people were lost. But it was, in my mind, hundreds of millions or even billions.
I'm sure it was billions. Has it ever been clarified whether these timelines are Earth-centric? Because if we're talking entire galaxies, then that's Thanos-level destruction. Worse than Thanos-level destruction.
Based on what we saw in Doctor Strange, I would have to say that it's beyond simply Earth in the galaxy. We haven't explored that yet in Loki, at least in the streaming, but it would seem to be the multiverse works across time and space. Yeah.
Huh. There was one more thing I wanted to talk about from this episode, and it was part of the conversation that Mobius and Loki had, and it was Loki asking Mobius, why have you not checked out your own place on the timeline now that you know that you were taken, you were a variant, you were taken from your timeline, and Mobius has refused to find out what his original life would have been. What do you think his original place on the timeline would have been? Where do you see him in history or the future?
Not only have I not thought of that, I haven't even considered that, because what I focused on and what I thought you were going to ask me was, why wouldn't he be interested in looking? And I think he finds his ultimate destiny is here and now, doing exactly what he is for the TVA. Whatever he was before, wherever he was, he feels like this is where he belongs. Mm-hmm. And so if he goes back to where he was, he doesn't feel like he belongs there or belonged there. So I don't know the answer to your question.
I think he's going to find out at some point in this series. I think he was super clear about why. If it was something terrible I was saved from, fine. But if it was something good that I'm missing, he just doesn't want to know. And I really get that. But if I had to guess anything, I think because of the interest in Jeskis, I'm going to go 90s Midwestern. Yeah. Mm. I think he's 90s Midwestern.
No jet skis in Canada?
There are, but it's never Canada. Watch it be from the Lake County in Alberta, and I will eat my words.
I can't think of a better way to end this episode. It's never from Canada.
Never from Canada.
We got episode three coming up, and we'll be back on schedule for more of a quick turnaround and almost live streaming. Join us again where we take up episode three. I'm Tom Fox.
I'm Megan Doherty. See you next time.
This is Tom Fox again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Because That's What Heroes Do. I hope you will join Megan and I as we explore all six episodes of Loki Season 2. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope you'll subscribe, rate, and review wherever great podcasts are listened to. Because That's What Heroes Do is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.